ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. From the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 12, the Mohini Murti incarnation bewilders Lord Shiva. Beginning of the chapter, let's read the introduction. This chapter describes how Lord Shiva was bewildered upon seeing the beautiful Mohini Murti incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he later came to his senses. When Lord Shiva heard about the pastimes performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of an attractive woman, he mounted his bull and went to see the Lord. Accompanied by his wife, Uma, and his servants, the Bhutagana, or ghosts, he approached the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the all-pervading Lord, the universal form, the supreme controller of creation, the super soul, the resting place for everyone, and the completely independent cause of all causes. Thus he offered prayers, giving truthful descriptions of the Lord. Then he expressed his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very kind to his devotees. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, Lord Shiva, he expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and attractive woman. Upon seeing this form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of the Lord, he controlled himself. This demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of woman in this material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya. This was evinced by Lord Shiva, the topmost devotee of the Lord. First, he was captivated, but later, by the grace of the Lord, he restrained himself. It is declared in this connection that only pure devotee can restrain himself from the attractive feature of Maya. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. After Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord, he circumambulated the Lord along with his wife, Bhavani, and his companions, the ghosts. Then he left for his own abode. Shukadev Goswami concludes this chapter by describing the transcendental qualities of Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by declaring that one can glorify the Lord by 9 kinds of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam. So today's verse is a 4 because it has a purpose. But, of course, we are not going to read the previous ones. Text 1 and 2, Shukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who is carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudan, the Lord, resides, accompanied by his wife, Uma, and surrounded by his companions, the ghost. Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman. Text 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead welcomed Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect, and after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Text 4. Please repeat. Shri Mahadeva Vacha. Deva Deva Jagat Vyapin. Jagadisha Jaganmaya. Sarveshamapi Bhavanam. Tvamatma Heturishvaraha. Translation. Lord Mahadev said, O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, Master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the super soul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshvara, the supreme controller of all controllers. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, resides within the material world as the Sattva Guna Avatar. Lord Shiva is the Tamo Guna Avatar and Lord Brahma is the Rajo Guna Avatar. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is Deva Deva, the chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagatvyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshvara, and so people think that Lord Shiva is everything. But here Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagadisha, the master of the universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Vishveshvara, but here he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagan Maya, indicating that even Vishveshvara is under Lord Vishnu's control. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara, but the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme Lord is Krishna. Lord Vishnu, everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarasta. Even Paramanu, the small atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence within them. So Lord Shiva, out of great curiosity, he wanted to see this Mohini Murti form of the Lord as a very, very, very beautiful woman. He wasn't there when the demigods and devatas churned the milk ocean, so he didn't see the form. So that's why he wanted to see. He heard about it. He became very interested to see the Lord in that form. So he came with his wife and his followers, the ghost, to ask the Lord to please show him this form. First, he offered prayers to please the Lord. And then after pleasing the Lord, he can ask for his desire. You just can't go to a person and ask something. You have to please the person first. Then you can ask, not before. So that's the system. The Vedic system is like that. It's the etiquette. It's a Vedic etiquette. So, very interestingly, it is explained that although Lord Vishnu is also within the material world, there are, of course, three Vishnus. Karanodakashaya Vishnu is outside this world. Karana, in the Karana ocean, causal ocean. But he enters the material world as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu in each and every universe. And he expands later as Shirodakashaya Vishnu or Paramatma. So there are three Vishnus. And whoever understands these three Vishnus, it is considered liberated because they are in charge of the material creation. So unless one understands how the material creation works, how can one understand how to get out of it? So only by the Lord's Supreme Lord's mercy one can understand how this material world works and how the laws works and what is my situation within this world. So neither Mahadev, Lord Shiva, or Lord Brahma can give liberation. Only Lord Vishnu can do it. No one else. So Lord Mahadev, here is glorifying the Lord. Although he's saying you are the chief among the demigods, sometimes Lord Vishnu is addressed as one of the demigods. But he's not one of the demigods. He's the chief of all the demigods. Even he's the chief of Lord Brahma or Shiva. They are under his control. By his order, Lord Brahma creates. By his order, Lord Shiva destroys. He maintains the universe because he's in charge of the sattvaguna, mode of goodness. Brahma is in charge of rajaguna, mode of passion. Passion means creation. And tamaguna, Lord Shiva, is in charge of, because that's in charge of destruction. Goodness is to maintain. Passion to create. Ignorance to destroy. So, so once Bhrigu Muni, in the assembly of great sages, he was asked to find out who of the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, were the supreme Lord, the supreme in the supreme mode of goodness. Because they could not ascertain, although they were great sages, they could not know for sure who of the three was in the purest mode of goodness, meaning the supreme Lord. So they asked Bhrigu Muni to find out. So Bhrigu Muni is the son of Lord Brahma, mental son of Lord Brahma. So he went to see his father at Brahmalok. Of course, when a son sees his father, he should offer respect, you know, some nice words, and you know. But Bhrigu Muni stood up in front of his father and just neglected him. He didn't look at him. He would look somewhere else. He didn't say, you know, namaste or anything. He just stood there, you know, defiantly. So Lord Brahma became disturbed. Son is being disrespectful. After not seeing him for a long time, come to see him, doesn't even say some nice words. Nothing. So his face became red with anger, Lord Brahma. And Bhrigu Muni noticed that. And Brahma, with great, great effort, he tried to control himself. And he could hardly control himself. So Bhrigu Muni noted that and he left. And he went to Kailas to see his brother. Because they are both born sons of Brahma. Lord Maheshwara is born between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma. So he's also considered like son. So, of course, when two brothers see each other, after, you know, they embrace, you know. So Lord Shiva came to embrace his brother, Bhrigu Muni. Oh, my dear brother, you came to see me after a long time. Let me hug you. And Bhrigu Muni said, don't dare to approach me. Don't dare to even touch me. You are always with these skulls around your neck and bones around your neck. Your body is full of ashes from the crematorium and you keep the company of these ghosts. So I don't want to be touched by you. Please keep your distance. Of course, Lord Shiva became very disturbed by this. So he took his trident and was going to pierce, you know, Bhrigu Muni. But his wife, Uma, stopped him. No, 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 this is your brother. He's joking with you. Don't take it so seriously. You know, how are you going to kill your own brother? You know, no, don't do that. So Lord Shiva restrained himself. Of course, you have to understand, Lord Shiva, his actions are not common. But we have to understand why he behaved like that. The ashes he has on his body are from the crematorium, of course, are only from Vaishnava ashes. He doesn't wear anybody else. Only from Vaishnavas. Not from anyone else. Not Karmi or Gyanis or Yogi. Only Vaishnava he put the ashes. And even the skulls and the bones are also from Vaishnavas. So it's... He feels, I'm being purified by the association of this Vaishnavas. And of course, the cobras around his arms and neck are great sages who wants to keep his company. So they did great tapasya to keep his company. So they are not ordinary people either, ordinary snakes. And the ghost, of course, they keep company because... they depend on Lord Shiva's mercy to get a human body. So he takes charge of helping them to get human body to progress in a spiritual life, because unless you get human body, it's very difficult to make progress in Krishna consciousness. You need, as a ghost, very difficult. Completely in tamagun. Not possible to overcome tamagun in a ghost-like body. So they take shelter in Lord Shiva because he's in charge of tamagun. But he helps them to get birth in the human body too, so they can have the opportunity to be Krishna conscious. And that way he helps them. But he's not in Tamagun himself. Anyway, Bhrigu Muni then went to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu. That's the local Vaikuntha. You know, there's a local Vaikuntha, the Polar Star. What is the other name? Dhruvalok. Dhruvalok. So Lord Vishnu resides there, and his feet are being massaged by the goddess Lakshmi. So when Bhrigu Muni arrived there, in the midst of the milk ocean, there is an island. There's a big palace and everything. And Lord Paramatma, Lord Vishnu, resides there with his associate and Lakshmiji. And he was resting on Anantashesh, and Lakshmi was massaging his lotus feet. When Bhrigu Muni came, without saying a word, he just kicked the chest of the Lord with his foot. So, of course, that's very extreme. No? First, there are three kinds of offenses: mental, verbal, and physical. So, first offense was mental because he neglected, to show some respect to his father, Lord Brahma. That's mental. And with his brother, verbal, he spoke, like that. And with Lord Vishnu, physical, he just kicked the chest without saying a word. Of course, Lord Vishnu is omniscient. He knows everything. He's in the heart of every living entity. He knew that Bhrigu Muni's intention wasn't to commit offense. But he was testing because the sages asked him to do the test to find out. So it wasn't his intention to do offense. So Lord Vishnu understood the situation and he told Bhrigu Muni, "I hope that my hard chest didn't hurt your soft foot. Please sit down here on my bed." And he was starting to massage Bhrigu Muni's foot. He was completely shocked, surprised, by this reaction. Then he understood, Lord Vishnu is in the supreme mode of goodness. He's the supreme Lord. Amongst the three deities, he's the supreme Lord. He understood. And he gave the message to the sages about it. But then, Lakshmiji was disturbed. She told Lord Vishnu, "I want you to chastise Bhrigu Muni." Say, "Why? I forgave him. He's my devotee. I took no offense." No, but he also offended me because your chest is my abode. I take shelter there. I take rest in your chest. So this is my abode. He offended my abode. I want you to chastise him." Lord Vishnu said, "I'm sorry. I can't do that. I already forgave him. He left. There's no question of chastisement." So Lakshmiji became angry at the Lord. They have an argument. Even in the spiritual world, sometimes husband and wife have arguments, disagreements. So she left Vaikuntha. It's a whole story, very long story. She left Vaikuntha, came to this earth planet to do tapasya, being angry at her Lord. And the Lord, after some time, he felt restless without Lakshmiji by his side. So he came to this earth to search for her. It's a long story. If you have been to the Tirupati temple, you must have heard this Leela. Have you? How many of you have heard this? Visited the Tirupati temple? Also, I don't have to go to all the details. If anybody has any doubt, after lecture can approach me or inquire more if they want. But the relationship between Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu or Krishna is of a subordinate. He himself is declaring here, "I am also part of this creation, and you are Jagan Maya, the Lord of Maya. So I am under your control also." And that's why when he came to ask the Lord to see this beautiful Mohini Murti, He also felt very much attracted. He forgot everything. He forgot that his wife was next to him, his followers were there. He forgot everything. He was chasing after her, you know, to touch her. So that proved that he was under the control of Vishnu Maya. Of course, that is not Mahamaya. That is Yoga Maya, because the form of the Lord as Mohini Murti is not made of Mahamaya. Is as spiritual as Lord Vishnu himself. So he was proud that he was conquered by the Lord's potency. And he felt, I have such a wonderful master. He felt proud to have such a wonderful master as the Supreme Lord. So you can read more if you want the pastime, how all this happened. This reminds me one pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, when Mohini Murti was being chased by Lord Shiva, she was going in front of the hermits of the big sages and yogis, most of them followers of Lord Shiva. So they can see that they have to be very careful. Even Lord Shiva can be attracted to this beautiful form of a beautiful woman. This happened in New York, Rata Yatra, back in 1976. That time the temple was big building, 13th floor. Has a theater and everything. So when Prabhupada arrived, the devotees had a play for him. The play was called Kali, the Age of Kali. So Prabhupada was sitting surrounded by his sannyasis, and we, the brahmacharis, were behind Prabhupada. And the play, was very nice, So Kali has his agent, lust, greed, anger, like that, and they're influencing people, like that. So one lady devotee, her name is Rasagya, she already left her body, recently. She's a very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And she was playing the part of lust. And she was doing so well that sannyasi would look somewhere else, would not look at the play, trying to look somewhere else, But Prabhupada was watching the play, and he had a red rose in his hand. He will turn it around and smell it and look at the sannyasi and smile at them. So anyway, the play ended that Mahaprabhu came with the big Sankirtan. He defeated the age of Kali, Kali and his agent were defeated by the Sankirtan movement. That's the end of the play, Nice ending. Anyway, so after play finished, Prabhupada walked to the elevator. His room was on the 11th floor. So while waiting for the elevator, he looked back at the sannyasis and he told them, "You have to understand the mentality of a pure devotee. That when he sees a beautiful woman, he thinks, what an amazing thing Krishna has created. He admires Krishna's creation. But he doesn't want to enjoy it. Because he knows this is Krishna's energy is for his service, for his enjoyment, not my enjoyment. Because he doesn't have a hankar, he doesn't have false ego. He doesn't identify with the body and mind. So he admires Krishna creation. Oh, so beautiful. That just by seeing it, everybody gets bewildered." Prabhupada said. But he doesn't. The pure devotee doesn't get bewildered. Because he doesn't want to lord over the material energy. So we are all amazed at that revelation Prabhupada was giving. So that's a fact, that in this material world, besides Narayan Rishi, everybody is attracted to the external feature of Maya in the form of a very beautiful woman. Everybody. You see everything, you know, in the media, the news, the movies, you know. Even when I was coming here, propaganda on the bus, cement, they're selling cement. They put a beautiful girl, you know. What has a beautiful girl to do with cement? But still, because they know this is a very good form to attract people, you know, to see the advertisement. So this is the psychology. This is a psychology. It's natural psychology. But if one becomes Krishna consciousness and becomes attracted to the most beautiful Shri Radha Gopinath, then his attraction to this material world diminishes. That's the whole idea. No matter how beautiful a woman may be or a man can be, also, with the passing of time, the body becomes, you know, old and sick, and all the teeth fall away, and wrinkles all over the face. So what is the beauty? Only for a short time. It's not real beauty, just an illusory manifestation of the Lord's external energy. So by understanding that, one can become detached. By the spiritual knowledge, it's possible. So Lord Shiva, of course, he wasn't conquered by the external energy, as I said, but by internal energy of the Lord. There are, of course, many pastimes of Lord Shiva. Vaishnava nam yata shambhu, he's the greatest Vaishnava because he's always all the time meditating on Lord Krishna. So once Lord Shiva wanted to see the form of the Lord as Bala Krishna, baby Krishna. So he went to Nandagram, disguised as a sadhu. But with the cobras and the scorpions, you know, they don't leave his association. They were there with him. Although he was disguised as a devotee of Lord Shiva. So he went there and knocked at the door of Nanda Maharaj's house. And Yashoda Maya opened the door. She said, "Oh, sadhu, how can I serve you? You want some prasad, some clothes, something?" He said, "No, I want to have darshan of your son." She said, "No, that's not possible because I'm very afraid of these cobras and scorpions you have on you. They may be dangerous to my son. So I'm very sorry. I can't allow you to come nearby him." So she closed the door in Lord Shiva's face. So Lord Shiva was very upset, very sad. He could not see the Lord. So he went and sat under a tree and was fasting, not eating anything. So when Yashoda Maya was trying to feed Krishna, Krishna will not eat. He was crying. So she was very worried. She asked her friends what to do. You know, my son is not eating. And the gopis said, "Well, maybe you displeased some sadhu. And that's why it happened." "Ah, yes, sadhu came here. And then you have to bring him, please him. Then your son will eat everything." So they found the sadhu, Lord Shiva, and brought him. So he was allowed in the house to have darshan of Krishna. So he was smiling and Krishna was smiling at him. The Lord was pleased to see his servant. The servant was pleased to see his Lord. But Yashoda Devi said, like from 10 feet, not closer than this. Keep distance, you know. You can have darshan, but not too close, you know, because she was afraid of these cobras and they may hurt the Lord, you know. So, and after a few minutes, she said, "Okay, darshan finished, you have to go now." So Lord Shiva has to go, but still he wasn't satisfied. He again sitting, fasting. Again, Krishna will not eat. So they call him again. He came again. He had darshan again. So Yashoda Maya asked him, "What can I do to please you so you can bless my son to always be healthy and eat everything and, you know, be happy?" So he said, "Yes, I have one desire. I'm planning to reside in Braja for some time, for a few months. And I would like to come every morning to your house to collect Charanamrit. You must bathe your son's lotus feet and give this water to me. And by drinking this water and putting on my head, I will feel blessed and happy. And I will bless your son to always be happy and eat everything and be healthy. So that was the agreement. So Lord Shiva will come every day, collect his Charanamrit. So even up today, if you go to Nandagram, you will see there's at the bottom of the temple, there is a small temple of Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva there. And all the Charanamrita, the bathing of Lord Krishna and Balaram, they bring to Lord Shiva to be bathed with that. Follow the tradition of this Leela. So that shows that Mahadev is a great devotee of Krishna. He's a servant of the Lord, the topmost servant. But unfortunately, some followers of Lord Shiva, they have this misunderstanding that he is the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Shaivists and Vaishnavas have this agreement. You know, who is the Supreme Lord? No Vishnu, no Shiva, like that. But actually, this is used as argument because Lord Shiva doesn't have separate existence from Lord Vishnu or Krishna. He is part of his energy. He's an expansion of Mahasankarsha. But when he enters the material world, he associates with the material energy as his wife, then there is a transformation. Like the example Brahma Samhita gives, like milk touched the tamarind becomes curd. So in the same way, there is some subtle transformation. So Lord Shiva is a difficult tattva to understand. He's not Jiva and he's not Vishnu tattva. He's between Shiva tattva. And sometimes he may act as Vishnu because Sadashiva, before entering the material world, he is Sadashiva. And that's Vishnu tattva. He appeared as Advaitacharya. That's Sadashiva. And Mahavishnu together. So anyway, this is the proper understanding of Lord Shiva. And we should offer respect to Lord Shiva. I mean, even Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, he visited temples of Lord Shiva and offered respect and prayer to Lord Shiva. Although he's his devotee. But that is out of love. Sometimes people argue that Lord Ram, he worshipped Lord Shiva. So that means he's subordinate. No. The Lord can worship his devotee out of love. To show people they should offer respect, you know, to great devotees also. But the proper understanding that Lord Shiva is a pure devotee, not an independent controller or supreme Lord himself above Lord Vishnu. No, he's under Lord Vishnu. So that's the proper understanding. If anybody has any comments or questions, doubts, yes. Okay.
Maharaj, regarding this different scriptures written by Vyasadeva, all the 18 Puranas that are told that there are three categories, like for mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Yes.
And in some Puranas, Lord Shiva is glorified as supreme.
Yes.
In some Brahma. So the general explanation is that although it is written by Shrim Vyasadeva,
yes,
but because people are in different modes, that is why in the scriptures it is told that this personality is supreme. So my doubt is that, like, we always quote different scriptures for proving this point. So
yes,
if you go through the literary meaning of all the slokas, finally one conclusion should come.
Yes. Final conclusion is Lord Shiva is offering prayer to the Lord. He's asking blessing from the Lord. And he's called Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the best Vaishnava. So Vaishnava means devotee of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. That's the final conclusion. Mahaprabhu accepted Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam as the Amala Purana, the spotless Purana, because speak about pure devotional service. So here it is explained that Lord Shiva is worshipping the Supreme Lord. Although it is correct to call Lord Shiva also Vishveshwara, the Lord of the universe, is correct. Why? Because he's destroying the universe, so he's Lord of the universe, because he can destroy it. So it's correct, he's Lord of the universe. Also, Lord Brahma is also Lord of the universe by creating the universe, isn't it? So it's no contradiction. The only thing is to understand that they get their power from Lord Vishnu to create or to destroy, not independently. So one great sage, he worshipped the Lord of the universe without mentioning his name. What was the name of that sage? Anybody remember? Atri Rishi, yes, Atri Muni. Atri Muni. He worshipped the Lord of the universe without saying the name. So when he pleased the Lord, the three appeared. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva appeared. So three of them are Lord of the universe. So it's correct. Nothing wrong with that understanding. But the proper understanding is that Lord Vishnu, he is the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. And he only can give liberation. No, none of them can give. So that's the proper understanding. So Atri Muni prayed for have a son like the Supreme Lord. So he have three sons. Each one was a partial incarnation of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. From Lord Brahma, blessing, he got Soma, the moon god. And from Lord Shiva, he got the Durvasa Muni as son. And from Lord Vishnu, he got Dattatreya as a son. So they expanded themselves to become his son, answering his prayers. So Prabhupada explained that even somebody doesn't know who's the Supreme Lord, but he worships the Supreme Lord. If he's sincere, Krishna will hear his prayers. Yes. Very good. So there are no more questions and comments. Very good. Right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.